in your word. May it be rich to our souls. Again, may we have a little further insight in what we are doing at this time in this service commemorated to your death. And we pray, Lord, in your name, we pray, Lord, according to your will. We know, therefore, we have the answer, and we're very, very grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is our first communion foot washing here. I must admit, apologize that we are remiss in not having one in the last month, but we just did not. And now we are to the place where I feel it's a little easier to have the service of this order. And I'm going to bring a little message now, communion. And of course, I'm taking it in a minor way from what Brother Branham said. And we're reading in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 23 to 26. And you will know that Paul the Apostle received this by revelation. Now, there's no doubt that he knew that people were doing this. But he would be so confused as to why they were doing it that he might have come to the place where they said they stole the body of Jesus, cut it up in pieces, and tried to eat it. So who knows what Paul might have said, especially when he got so mad he killed people and thought he's doing God a service. He was a good old boy, but, you know, that's what Cain did. He killed for religion. Now, Paul got this by direct revelation. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. He didn't get him Peter, James, and John. He got him the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. Do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare, show the Lord's death till he come. Now, there is no place in the Bible where the Lord's Supper, as it is called, and that's in the 20th verse, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, you see, he said, you're not eating the Lord's Supper by what you're doing. But it was called the Lord's Supper. Now, there's no place in the Bible where the Lord's Supper is spoken of as communion. The word communion, as Brother Branham said, is from the Catholic creed of taking Eucharist, which is the emblems, the Lord's Supper. Communion, according to the dictionary, is the act of sharing. Brother Branham used it as the interchange of thoughts, people speaking one back to another. And as he said, the bread and the wine do not speak back. He said, no way can anybody tell me that a Catholic priest can turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus when rats and mice can pack it off and eat it. Now, that's taken from Father Chinicky's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, where a poor old Catholic priest was dissolved in tears and almost insane because the mice had eaten the bon Dieu, had eaten the good God. Well, when mice can eat the good God, man, it doesn't even... You know, isn't this strange? Now, as Brother Branham correctly said, this is not what the Bible says as to being communion. Verse 26 tells you what it is. So let's read it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death till he come. So, this Lord's Supper means that the Lord's Supper is a testimony or a confession or a witness or a preachment about the Lord's death. And it is to be done right up until it can't be done anymore, until it is done anew in the kingdom of God. Matthew 26 and 29. Now, it's to be done by us. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now he tells them, that until they come to the millennium, or such a time which would stop them, they have to keep doing it and then start doing it again. Because he referred it in Matthew 26 to the Lord's Supper. So evidently the millennium will be doing it. Now we must note that both the broken bread and the cup of wine signify the body of the Lord and the blood of the Lord and are taken together at one time and signify one act. One act, not two acts, but one act. Because many people say, broken body, blood. Blood, broken body. No way. The body and the blood came from one act, which was from the breaking of the body of Jesus. What I am saying is that the body was broken open by beatings and lashings and cruel torture. So that even the crown of thorns punctured the veins that would not have emptied themselves, even when the spear in the side let the rest of the blood out. There are certain veins which cannot be emptied, which are in the temple. The crown of thorns opened them up. And when the spear struck his side, it was proven that Christ's heart was broken, because under extreme conditions of heart brokenness, the pericardium becomes full of water. So the spear went up and broke the pericardium, where the rest of the blood could come through, which I would think was mostly water by that time. So, broken body and shed blood do not have even kindred meanings. They have one meaning. For it was the breaking of the body that released the blood. In fact, even in the book of Peter, it says, by his bruise were healed, not bruises. So that most writers believe that the body of Jesus was so cruelly cut and marred that his body was one vast bruise. In fact, most historians agree that his body was marred beyond the body of any man or any men, because he could not die until he released his spirit that he might pass from this life. And that's what the scripture agrees with, that he was horribly mutilated. Reason he was mutilated, one reason beyond the fact by that bruise and by the stripes were healed, is that they had to keep the Passover lamb up for 2 weeks, I believe it was, 10 days or 2 weeks, I forget which now, in order to prove the lamb to be what it was, fit for the sacrifice. And this one here proved not only by his life, but in his beatings, that he was that fit lamb. So you can't separate the bread and wine as some people do. You may not have known this, but it's been my experience that I have seen people who will eat the bread, walk off and leave the wine. Not so, they're one. You can understand why they take the bread, because it's, well, you see, that does not signify the blood. And we must be very careful about the blood. Well, you better be careful about the body. Because the blood is valueless to a degree unless you are in the body. So there's no such thing. No such thing. No such thing. Let's get that flat. No such thing. Is anybody thinking, well, I'll go part way. You go all the way. It's bread and wine. The body was broken, or the blood would not have spurted out. He was so ripped in his body that his blood flowed. Now, if you don't think that's possible, you just talk to doctors and criminologists, and they will tell you, yes, slashed wrists and a slashed throat. And without even slashed wrists and getting this particular jugular or the major arteries, you can cut enough. Until if that blood is not stopped, you will die, or you can have internal hemorrhaging, and the blood passing your body by vomiting or through the lower bowel, and you'll still die. Now, what is that from? Ulcers that break. That's a cut body. That's a broken body. So you see, you just don't separate. And the reason I'm saying it is, you know, people are cagey. You know, don't take God for a fool. I know we do so much of the time. I think we've stopped doing that. Now, verse 26, for now this act is a confession of your faith. Not the Apostles' Creed. Your act. Not reciting something, you're doing. You are confirming your faith in the remission of sins by the blood. You are confessing and confirming your revelation of your remission of sins. You are also confirming your revelation of that much maligned, disrespected, and peculiar doctrine of serpent seed. Because you don't offer the fruit until you offer the blood for the sins. Now, it is invariably and irrevocably a memorial service. It is a memorial service. 24:25. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance for me. After the same manner took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do, is not doing it in remembrance of me. It is a remembrance service. Now you understand, it's a remembrance service. And this will never change as far as I know, because we have already learned from Matthew 26-29 that we will drink and eat anew with him in the kingdom. Also, the book of Revelation gives preeminence to his sacrificial death, as you will notice, in Revelation 1, 4 and 5. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace unto you and peace to him which is and was, which is to come from the seven spirits which are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is the faith witness, and the first begotten, that is the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us for ours from our sins in his own blood. You notice the blood is mentioned. And it's mentioned in connection with him. So therefore, the remembrance is of him shedding his blood. See? Blood without him wouldn't do it. There wouldn't be any. He's the blood of God. Okay. Also, 7:8. Behold, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him. And all the kings of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, it was just to come the Almighty. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Now notice, how did he die? He died through the breaking of the body. Revelation 5. 5-7. One of the elders said to me, weep not, behold, the Lamb, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed, open the book, and loose the seven seals. And I beheld alone in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and amidst the elders, stood a Lamb. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, and the Lamb came and took the book. Starting at 9. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to open the book. Take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Notice, by the blood. See? And I beheld, and lo, and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and about the, and the beast. And the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, many thousand thousand, 10,000 thousand, saying in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature upon earth said the same thing. Honor unto him, unto the Lamb forever. That's in verse 13. Now, in verse 14, they fell down to worship him. That's the Lamb. Also, the bride who is redeemed is called the Lamb's wife. 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give on him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife of the Lamb has made herself ready. The bride is called the Lamb's wife. The ultimate of God embraces the Lamb and is found in Revelation 22, 1-3, which means what I'm saying to you is this, the last place which goes on eternally has the Lamb right there. Verses 1 and 2, 1-3, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of Anita side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits, yielded fruit every month, and leads the tree of the healing nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So therefore, there is no record at any time, through eternity, where the blood is ever disassociated from us. See? Now, whether we continue to eat and drink a memorial service through all eternity, I do not know. But his death will never be forgotten. It is true that Revelation 21, 3-5 must come to pass. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, it is true that we will forget and no longer have a remembrance of that which is upon earth. But there is nothing said we'll ever forget the Lamb. Nothing is ever said about the Lamb being forgotten. And Lamb means death. There is no record said it is true. Revelation 21, 3-5 must come to pass as concerning us, but there is no record of the remembrance of his death ever leaving us. No record. All right. We notice something else. It is 1 Corinthians 11 and 27. And the 27th verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, that word unworthily means in an unworthy manner, which they were doing in verses 17 to 22. They were making a big feast. They were making divisions. They were making light. They had no revelation of the solemnity of the blood. They had no revelation of the breaking of his body, which shed the blood, which meant so much to them. So, we must remember then that thus verses 28 and 29 follow naturally after verse 26, 27 rather, that says we must not drink unworthily. Let's read verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, in other words, there is not sufficient or serious thought on him who died for us. Not sufficient depth of appreciation of the agony and suffering and humiliation. Not sufficient gratitude for it all. Not sufficient understanding and identifying with him and his death. What we're saying here is, as I understand this, that the people never understood what the breaking of the body, the consequent shedding of the blood did for them in their status as Christians. And you know, I'm afraid that that's something that's been with us, not us as a group, but I mean the church, and could continue to be, unless we become a little more serious about his presence. I suppose the sobriety that Brother Branham said was lacking when the pillar of fire stood 6 inches from him and over people's heads, they ran around talking, chewing gum, acting very foolish in the very presence of God, what Scripture said, why did you not tremble in my presence? And I'm afraid that though that is true, it is true, that we could also be in a serious problem today by putting much emphasis on the presence and learning to be more sober, which we will certainly learn to be, and we're just going to be. That's all there is to it, because that's what we've got to be. And we will be, therefore. We might be a little prone to ignore the statement that Brother Branham said on the seals, and remember, the seals are the thunders. How can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin until there be nothing left of it? I think one place he said no evidence. And I think myself that many times that we try to talk ourselves into discerning the body, talking about great love we have for each other, and you know, get things out of your heart, and you know, get things away that you have a disagreement in, clear things up. I think that's all good. And I know it's good. But I don't know that that is really what he's saying here. At least, put it this way. I would say that this is also what he's saying if he's saying the rest. He's saying, people, you have never allowed yourselves to receive an in-depth revelation of exactly what that blood means to you. Because if you really did, you couldn't help but have a different atmosphere in your services. You couldn't help but have a different atmosphere in your life. And Brother Branham categorically put atmosphere down to nature and nature down to what lay in the soul. In other words, the soul has never been thoroughly nourished on the revelation of the tremendous value of the shed blood which came, not through them sticking a spear in his side, but by literally breaking that body open. Just except for breaking bones, like somebody might deliberately throw somebody off a 7-story building onto a bunch of spikes. Just literally shredded with the terribleness of what they did to him. And that blood falling upon the ground in order to purify the ground, which in turn will bring back our bodies from the dust and give us glorified bodies because of the life that was released because of the blood that was shed. So when you begin to see what Paul is saying here, and then from the 11th chapter you go right into gifts. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that these people were so puffed up with their gifts that who gave 2 cents for the blood? Well, thank you for the blood, Lord. Now, what else is new? Hallelujah. Pentecostal hogwash. The 20th century. What new thing has been revealed to you? What new thing has happened to you? I talked in tongues today. Yeah. The 11th chapter. Women out of turn. Even back there cutting their hair like prostitutes, which is a sign of divorce or prostitute. Shaving her right off. Men not taking their proper position. And then come into the church and appreciate the blood. Fact. Going through the remembrance? Fuzzy, get out of here. What do you think you're pulling off? See, it's a sobriety of the fact that goes plumb to Philippians, who being in the form of God, right there in the pillar of fire, God made a way to leave the pillar of fire and come down in a human body and there stand amongst men. And so enforce that person by his life and reinforce that God could understand the sufferings in human flesh. Look at this. This death cannot understand suffering in human flesh. It doesn't even suffer as a tree that gets cut down. The Indians try to tell us it shudders, but, you know, forget that nonsense. Indians are cooped up anyway. Heathen. A bunch of heathen. God came down. And through the flesh, the sensate being, He Himself knew every single infirmity. But that one becoming a man in the sense of taking on Himself the robes of a man could now become a high priest, having shed His own blood. And, you know, there is a lack in the church. I've seen this years and years ago, and I preached on the power of the cross, that the majority of people never understand the power of death to the old nature, where the power of God is released. Because they're so imbued with, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and got gifts, hallelujah, that they never ever realize the power of the cross. And we're looking at the same thing today. Paul putting it right in here to the Corinthian church. Church out of order. People out of order. Everything out of order. And literally it made the blood a mockery. And the service became a mockery. So we must examine ourselves. And if not tonight, because this is something maybe we're just learning about for the first time in a different way, that we must become more and more sober and examine ourselves as to how deep we are in this faith, this revelation of His death, and what it has done and is doing for us. Now remember, the supper was held daily back there. Brother Branham said, Branham, tabernacle, you do wrong. They did this every day back there. We do it once a month. He didn't say you had to do it more than once a month. They did it daily. Their remembrance was every day. They remembered Him as the dear dying lamb and His love and His benefits daily. We only once a month, and that on Sunday, the day wherein we commemorate His resurrection. So thereby we celebrate both His death and His resurrection. I don't say that's wrong, but I don't say it's right. Because you don't have it according to Scripture as being right. It is something we are doing that the prophet allowed. I do not say we should change it. I merely bring to your attention that they every day made sure their minds were jarred to the reality of taking that which made them remember. It was a memorial. It was a confession. It was a preachment. It was a teaching that they did. We once a month had better begin to examine ourselves more than once a month. He paid the price of death. We love Him because He loved us. We live because of Him, which means we're no longer separated from God. Now, we talk about the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and that's absolutely true. You just must never cease to praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the point is this, how did the baptism of the Holy Ghost get here? Well, it tells you in the book of Hebrews, which I've read many times, the 10th chapter, from verse 13, that for this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, what was that? He offered his body. He offered his life. They drained the blood. Sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies made his footstool. For by one offering he purified them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is also witness to us. The baptism with the Holy Ghost proves that the blood has been applied. Now, if the Holy Ghost could only come because the blood is applied, there is no way that anybody can have a true baptism with the Holy Ghost and not revere the blood. No way. We've just become negligent. And we need our minds jarred, as one might say, or our pure minds. Hopefully, that's true, and it is, through the blood. Have a renewal of the understanding of what the blood does. Without that blood today, we could not stand in His presence, but be naked and ashamed. We thank God for His death and declare our thanks and faith in partaking of the simple elements. which are those which we recognize as the blood, the emblems of the blood and of the bread. So we're going to sing a little bit while the brethren go ahead and get the emblems. They're not out here yet, are they? Are they upstairs there? They're up there. So, Allison, you can get them, help them get them out there. We got the napkins here, and bring the table down. This gives you a chance to sing a little bit some of the songs of the blood. You got your accordion there, Brother Dave. And this will give Lloyd a chance to lead us in some songs. Remember, there's nothing anywhere that could ever give us any hope outside of that blood. There's no gift, there's no anything in the realm of Almighty God. There's good old hymn on page 200. You want to start there? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing that anyway. For one of the songs you got picked out. And as we do, let's remember, let's think seriously and soberly upon what the songs are saying, what we're saying when we sing the song. You know, if there was some other way that God could have used, He would have used it. To the Jews, you know, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's absolute foolishness. You and I don't understand, but we believe. And that revelation does something to us. That's the most wonderful thing of it all. It is a revelation. It's just absolutely phenomenal to know that this is true. How do you know it's true? Because something inside witnesses to it. So we go to the table of the Lord. Before we do, let us just pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to bless the people as they come forward in remembrance of the great death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, in our likeness and in flesh, stood here in that form, you in him and with him, and in such a way so lived that when he gave his life, which could not be taken from him, the blood was completely drained from his body, and he, being there, still had to give up that life until there was nothing left but the cold corpse hanging upon the cross. It's hard for us, Lord, to even begin to realize what that meant and what that is. Perhaps, Lord, later down the road we will know, as we have not known at this point. But we do, Lord, have that revelation that this is the remembrance of that which was done. And we partaking, Lord, make a confession tonight that this is what happened. This is in remembrance. And we remember it, Lord, and we know that and believe that there'll never be a time when we won't recognize it through all the eternity. That being so, how important it is. How serious we ought to be, because it must have been serious to him. He who said, I could presently call 12 legions of angels. Very, very serious. Who said, let this cup pass if it can pass, but let thy will be done. Tremendously serious. And Lord, we have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, but we know even in the garden, drops of blood appeared on the forehead, actually sweat blood, coming to the place of the full measure of consecration unto death. I know, Lord, there is many things that theologians say were wound up in it, that the horror of him becoming sin for us, which we don't know if that were true or not. We don't know all those things. But we do know that there lies in here that which is eternal in its merits, in its efficacy, that the centrality of the cross is indeed the centrality of redemption and of the universe. And the Lamb blood has never nor will ever lose its power, because it has become an eternal factor. Lord, you warned us in your scripture there to be serious and sober and examine ourselves. And we do, Lord, and in our examination we find that we are very faulty as to the depth of the true passion and compassion which should be in us through revelation of the Holy Spirit concerning this. And we ask you tonight, Lord, not only to forgive us, but to help us, that we may think of him who died that we might live. Oh, not just one day a month, but every single day. And yes. Even many times a day, Lord. The sobriety. Because it is high time to be sober concerning God and the things of God. This is what we pray at this time, Lord, as we partake. And we give you the glory, Lord, as we pray and as we partake, because we believe that you are helping us from this moment on to come to that position, because you love us as a husband loves his wife. In fact, you love more than that. That was maybe just, and it was just a type of the real. And so we're praying to you tonight, our husband, commemorating the Lamb's death, our husband's death, that he might bring the score. Lord, that is wonderful. We appreciate it. We open our hearts and minds as never before and give thee praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll just begin, I suppose, from this side here, and you just come along as usual, and brethren will serve you their emblems in remembrance, but it is a remembrance.